Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I'm so excited. Guess who's here? Jan Tripp. She is celebrating her 40th year of teaching dance at Jan's School of Dance, and they have a big show coming up this weekend we're going to hear all about. You know, Jan, I have to say, you are ageless. Do people tell you that? Is it a dancer's body, the way they carry themselves?
Hopefully that's one of the benefits of being a dancer. It's kind of you to say that. We do focus on posture and confidence and presentation. It's all kind of part of the pack.
So let's go way, 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 way back. I've known you a long time. You have been obviously doing this at Jan School of Dance for a long time. But let's go back to your high school years. Did you take dance class in Hastings?
I did. We moved to Hastings when I was a sophomore in high school. And so I was in St. James is where I grew up. And
okay.
So I'd had dance and they had a lot more girls athletics. So I went to state in gymnastics and we had a synchronized swimming team, baton twirler, all those kind of activities that Hastings didn't really have at the time. So when I came here, I took dance from Wendy Wilson.
Of course.
Of course.
She on 15th Street?
She's on 15th Street in the basement. Beautiful girl and teacher, and it was very fun to continue with her. And then I felt bad because there wasn't a lot of opportunities for girls in sports in Hastings at the time. And so I offered through community ed. They had a phi ed teacher that helped me out, and we started gymnastics in the summer program. So basically I did the teaching and spotting and taught the phi ed teacher how to do it, and we trained her in. I couldn't run the program because I wasn't old enough, but we started to get a lot of girls in summer classes, you know, throughout the time. We started synchronized swimming and gymnastics. And
what year would this have been?
Probably, well, we moved here in 68, so probably the summer of 69. I think I started right away after my sophomore year in high school. And the program progressed pretty quickly. And my sister was 4 years younger than I, and I wanted her to get to have the experience. Jill. Yes, she taught with me forever and was in all of our activities. And I wanted her to have a high school team. So I pushed for that, and they finally got a high school team started after I left. But so she had the opportunity to experience, you know, the team concept.
So when did Title IX come into play? Was that early 70s?
It was early 70s. I'm not sure exactly the date of when it was, but it wasn't so much the equality thing. It was just, I just had so much more experience with girls athletics where I came. And so I thought it was time for Hastings to give the girls something else to do.
Absolutely. And you know, when you think back, it seems almost archaic that's not even a whole lifetime ago that there was not girls organized sports at the high school level. And now when you think about how engaged all kids are, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. And it's really fun. I enjoyed a lot of the kids that were students when I taught the summer classes with gymnastics or synchronized swimming are parents now of dancers that are even in my high school level. And it's just a blast to see them and remember the parents as a little love bug in the pool and way back in the day, and now they have you know, high school kids, and it's really fun. That is one of the most fun things for me, to watch the whole family, you know, grow and progress.
So as you left high school then, did you have it in the back of your head you were interested in starting a dance studio?
Or? I always wanted to, and we were cleaning out the cupboards and we found my junior high school yearbook from St. James, and they asked what you want to be when you grow up, and I said a dance teacher.
Let's give you one of these.
So we always wanted, you know, to do that. And so I thought that was kind of funny when I found it. I always wanted to be a teacher. My parents were State Department of Education and teachers their whole life. We played school, if you call it that, when I was growing up in our basement all the time. We took turns being teachers and students. And I always liked that. And so I gave it a try. I went to St. Olaf and I majored in phi ed and health, and with a specialization in dance. They didn't have an actual major. They do now, but they didn't then. And so I taught phi ed and health then at the high school level for 6 years, a year in Rosemount and 5 here. And I just, you know, really missed the dance and, you know, the passion of that versus teaching other activities I wasn't as fond of. So I took a year leave of absence and started the dance studio down at the old racquetball club and, you know, gave it a year and loved every minute of it and never looked back.
So people don't know maybe that are listening what the old racquetball club was. I do, but tell people.
It's across the railroad tracks, and it's a church now, isn't it?
It is, a branch line church, yes.
Okay, and it at the time was a racquetball club. They converted two little courts into a studio for me, rented the facility there for 3 years. Then we moved to downtown Hastings to 216 East 2nd Street, so the building that has the stained glass windows on the top. It's been a candy shop. It's been a clothing
yes.
store. It's the second building in, and that's where we grew until 93.
So that was a nice long building.
Your floors are a little warped and whatever. We needed a second studio, so we turned the garage into a second area for dancers so we could run two classes at the same time to get better timing for parents. But there just wasn't enough parking and room. And
right.
I've always loved letting the parents be involved in their children's dance education. So we built the studio and got plenty of room for the parents and have a giant lobby with windows in, which is unusual for a dance studio. Usually the parents aren't allowed in. It's just, you know, the kids go in and you see them at the recital. But to me, and then having boys, I always grew up thinking, you know, why can you watch soccer practice, softball practice, basketball practice, but you can't watch the dancers? So we just did that. And I think it makes it more of a family interest. The moms and dads, equal numbers, bring the kids at night and you know, take turns. And this year has been COVID. With COVID restrictions, we haven't been able to do that. But in the past, we have. And it's just great because you get to know the parents as well as the kids, and they can see what you're doing and all the fun they're having.
So, Jen, when you went and took a year leave of absence from your teaching job, was it just a year then? Did you figure out in a year, I think I can do this?
Yes, I just took it. It was just a year leave of absence. And yeah, I knew right away once we got going. And obviously, I had a lot of contact in town because I had been here. So word of mouth would spread that we were, you know, opening a studio.
And did it still feel like a leap of faith?
It did when I first did it, but my husband said, hey, this is what you love and you've done it your whole life, go for it.
So then let's talk about the fact that you had boys. Did you at first go, wah, wah?
Not really, you know, because
because boys dancing back then, again, just like we talked about girls in athletics, that was not something, and I know right now it's very popular.
You know, and I think, and basically both of my boys danced for quite a while. And it became more popular, you know, as the time went on. When Thor first started, there weren't as many, but we'd go to competition and there would be several boys in a class or lots of all-boy groups. So we started building on that. My younger son did it through fifth grade and decided it wasn't his thing, but he's not as much of a performer as Thor is more of the performer of the family. So he was real good with the young kids and we built it up so there were 22 boys in my class when he was competing back in the day. So, you know, it just kind of, they'd gravitate towards one another and it would be a team, just a different kind of a team, and just have a blast performing for the judges and then go out and play baseball or whatever else you do.
Right.
So, yeah, there weren't as many boys, but, you know, it was really easy to have boys. So first you would think you want to have a girl, but, you know, having two boys back to back, I mean, they're healthy and that's all that really mattered. And as a mother of a dancer, you know, my competition was great, having a boy comb their hair, black pants, change the shirt. You know, it was easy. And I don't know, with all the parents have so much to do with the girls, hair changes, makeup changes, pinning this and that. And it would have been really hard to be a you know, mother of a daughter that was a dancer, as well as the dance teacher. It was simple for me. So no regrets.
Go back to those early years when you moved into your studio in 93. It's out in the industrial park.
Yep.
Yes. It's studio itself, I'm sure, seemed gigantic, but I know how busy you have become. So talk about that,
please. It is busy. My parents keep talking me into trying to put a coffee bar in the back so they can hang out. And I said, there just isn't room. So when we built it, yeah, it seemed really big because we made the bigger studio the size of a stage. So what the problem we had when we were competing with the kids when they were younger is it was a narrow building. And so then they get on stage and the kids dance narrow rather than spreading out like they should on stage. And so it was just natural to make it the size of a normal stage that we compete on or perform on. And so the big studio was made for that. And then we have a real big lobby. And then the second studio is a smaller size aimed at non on competition dancers and the little ones, and I like to kind of keep them close because it's just, you know, it's more casual, and if they get in a big space, they tend to want it. Their mind gets lost or they want to run around, and yeah, the smaller studio is perfect for the young ones. Plenty of room, but not too much.
So how has dance changed over the years?
You know, when I first started, it was, you know, basically my main influence is the Rockettes. I love the Rockettes, the June Taylor dancers, Jack Gleason, you know, all of those type of, that's the style of dance that it was. And so it was more about grace and
precision
and those kind of things. And then dance kind of shifted and the music changed and, you know, the whole culture changed and all the break dancing and everything came out about. And then competition started popping up and we didn't do it for quite a while. My first competition was 84. I had a group of five seniors that wanted to go to a competition. That was the fall I had Thor. So basically kind of on their own, they just, you know, practiced at the studio. And then when I came, I just had 6 weeks off from maternity leave. When I came back, they were ready to roll. And we went to our first one in December and they loved it. So, I mean, competition has really, it's really improved the skill level of the dancers more than anything. You know, used to practice and have fun, do the best you can for the show. Now they practice and have fun as well, but they really strive to improve their strength and their skills. And rather than a once a week for an hour class, you know, they're there many times a week. They practice on their own, and competition really pushes the skill level of all of the dancers up. But there's nothing wrong with not competing. You know, some personalities are not for that. And some of my stronger dancers, even some that I have now, the competition isn't their favorite part of it, but they do it because, you know, they're with that group of dancers. But non-competition has its own benefits of just, you know, purely for fun and for, you know, for their own self-awareness. And, you know, they don't all have to go the competition route. Spurs some of the upper level ones on.
When you said you have some, what is it, 2 and 3 year olds that start?
Yep. We have toddlers as our first classes, and what a joy they are to teach. Just, you know, 2 year olds are just such a sweet little bundle of joy. You know, they just are so lovable. You just want to hug them all. It's been terrible with COVID not to, you know, you can't help it but want to hug the little ones, you know, because it's just the way it is. And they're just, yeah, this year they're being elephants. So they're usually an animal. And so this year they're the elephants. And the cutest, they always steal the show because they're just so darn adorable. You know, their personalities are so unique, even at the age of 2. You know, 3 year olds used to be my favorite because they were my first year. But 6 years ago, we started going with the toddlers. A lot of people, dances changes a little bit, and everybody is going to 2 year olds. So, yeah, now it is. And it's funny to watch my 3 year old classes now, which you are so much more grown up seeming than. The listening skills are already, you know, developing, whereas they used to just start in that grade. Yeah, it is very fun. It's just joy.
How do you recap these 40 years? Can you believe it's been 40 years?
No, I don't. I told my husband today I'm 40 and I've taught 40 years, so I don't know how that happened, but what can you say? But, oh, it's just been so much fun. I was trying to put some pictures together for a slideshow, and, like, the time just goes so fast from the first, you know, beginning when I taught 6 days a week for many years. So I was the main teacher, and eventually, and I added gymnastics teachers first, and Cindy Smith was a baton teacher. So we had a real heavy start with gymnastics and baton, less dance classes, because that's what, you know, everyone had learned from me and wanted and whatever. And then we kind of eased them into dance, and, you know, so some now it's really a good mix of the acro with the dance. But yeah, you think of each kind of group of girls that went by and all the outstanding people. And it's really fun to see and hear from them, you know, still now. And people like Mandy Truax in town, I'll always call her Mandy, Amanda, you know, with Riverblades on Ice. And Andrea Schappa taught for me, and she, you know, was one of my Viking cheerleaders. And Mandy, of course, with Disney, and was a North Star cheerleader. And I've had a lot of other Viking cheerleaders. Kayla Winter has been one, a Pro Bowl cheerleader. And you go through all the different generations, and then you hear back. I just got a couple grad invites from parents or kids I've had. They were teachers for me. Chris Veith from town, her son is having a grad party in a few weeks, and it's just like yesterday, you know, pick up the phone and talk. Of course we'll be there, you know, and the time just goes quick. All the memories, all the trips to Disney, Branson, we went to Daytona Beach to a clogging convention, and a lot of fun memories for the whole family then, who's involved as well, you know, the dancers and me, just kind of a, you know, special bond with everybody around town. But I couldn't have done it without the support of Hastings and the surrounding areas. We have, like, like our graduates this year, one is from Eastview, two are Prescott, two are from Hastings, and it's the smallest class I've had in quite a while, but there's lots of diversity, you know, kids from Randolph and Cannon, Red Wing, you know, most of the people are from Hastings, but it's good for the dancers to learn, you know, to get friends from other communities. It's more like a college experience. Go out, you know, that's people that are there. But yeah, the community has been terrific. And through the COVID times, and oh my goodness, I love them.
So Jen, when you think about the qualities that kids learn from dance, what is it exactly do you think they glean from their time at Jan School of Dance, besides learning how to dance?
I think it's really important that they learn confidence in themselves and their ability, whatever level their ability is, not to worry about that, just to have the confidence to go through life. A lot of discipline. I'm old school on being in class, working hard, putting full effort into everything they do. Teamwork is really important. You know, that's something they learn elsewhere too, but that's important. I think respecting your elders and your teachers and each other. I mean, with the world having a lot of people that are bullies and all the social media stuff, you know, we really don't need that stuff in kids' lives. They just need to be loved and by everyone. So those are kind of, you know, those are, and loyalty. I think that's important, people in their life. But, you know, the confidence, and I love going to choir concerts and seeing them thrive and just, you know, all the things around town. And a lot of the kids maybe danced for me for 4 or 5 years and then went on with other things, and you still see them and you're still friends. And it's just a lot of friendship too. And I try to make a safe place for them.
Well, I know that Lynn Warren, when he was head of the show choirs in town, always gave you credit for really giving the kids a good foundation for dance. And, you know, he helped them learn how to sing, but you certainly had a great foundation. So you can be really proud of that and all the successes that the show choir had too.
It's very kind. The musicality of the dance, very important. You know, the band and choir, all of those activities, piano lessons, any lessons, orchestra, that really helps the kids learn to count the beats and stay together. So it goes both ways.
So let's talk about this big celebration. It's going to be this weekend, June 12th and 13th. Tell us about it, please.
Okay, we are having our 40th show. So we have all the dancers. This year we will not have the adult dancers, which is sad because of COVID and all the restrictions and not being able to have that many people in the building. But we'll have our show that features like the two-year-olds all the way through the high school kids, the competition lines and non-competition lines, just having fun. And I just feel like it's such a great time for freedom for them, for coming out of the COVID things and, you know, letting the restrictions loosen enough that the dancers can perform with their masks off on stage. And that'll be the first time all year they've been able to dance without their masks on, which is, you know, going to be wonderful. Then the smiles are what you really enjoy. You see it in their eyes, but it'll be great to see, you know, full smiles. And so we'll have the shows at 1:30 and 6:30, both Saturday and Sunday. Tickets are available at the door. And I'm hoping that lots of alumni will be around, parents or grandparents or dancers, that they'll stop and say hi after the show. And that's the most important thing in the 40 years, is to see the people. The thing that I think is most important is to know that the kids that are shy and don't want to come in the door after 50 years,
yes,
you know, they just become beautiful people. It's such a, that's my memory of all of them. You
I
know,
bet.
They,
I bet.
They start little, just to enjoy them. Enjoy,
absolutely.
Enjoy
absolutely.
Life with them.
Oh, Jan, well, you certainly have lifted up a lot of kids over the years. The big recital is going to be this Saturday and Sunday, June 12th and 13th, 1:30 and 6:30 shows. It's at the Hastings Middle School. Tickets are available at the door. So come celebrate with Jan Tripp and the 40 years of Jan School of Dance. Great to see you. Thanks for
Great
coming
to
in
see
today.
You too.
Thank you. And you are listening to another edition of Community In Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.